What's up, Dream Warriors? Welcome back to another episode of a podcast on Elm Street. We are your hosts, Mark, and a
Hey,
very
I'm
tired
Brooke.
Brooke. Mid yawn.
Yeah.
This is our last episode in Australia.
It is, yeah.
It's been a ride.
Yeah.
We talked about some giant boars. We
Yeah.
talked about some crazy outback hillbillies.
Yeah.
Some psychotic prom queens.
Yeah.
And tonight we're wrapping it all up with Talk to Me from
Yeah.
2023. Had to save this one for the end because this is arguably the biggest horror movie to come out of Australia in the past decade or so,
Yeah,
if
probably.
not ever. I don't know, man. This movie's fucking huge,
Yeah.
but highly popular.
Yeah.
I'm excited to talk about it.
Me too.
This is a second watch for me. I don't know.
Me as well, yeah.
Same for you. All right. But before we dive into this movie, kick off our just booze tonight because I don't have any news.
Wow, I'm surprised.
Is there something that I should be talking about?
Yeah,
Fuck.
there is.
I haven't really looked. What do we got? Let me see. What am I looking for?
I can just tell you if you want, you know.
All right.
Saw 11 is canceled.
Oh no.
And so is the franchise by the sounds of it.
Oh no.
Yeah.
Fuck. I just pulled that up. There it is right here. After 2 decades, 10 films, and over $1 billion gross worldwide, Saw remains one of horror's most popular and enduring franchises. Unfortunately, the series' iconic villain Jigsaw may have already set his last trap, according to an anonymous source that Bloody Disgusting has verified as being close to the production. Ah, that sucks.
Yep.
I mean, we have a lot of movies in the franchise, but I was kind
We
of looking
do,
forward
but
to it.
I feel like Saw 10 kind of rejuvenated the franchise a bit, right?
For sure. All right, fuck it. I have Bloody Disgusting open here now, so I'm looking at some shit. Darren Aronofsky is in talks to direct Stephen King's Cujo for Netflix. I'm on board for that.
Me too.
What's the other one here? Hell House LLC lineage is gone, but the clown is back in First Images. What the fuck? Did they cancel this too?
Really?
Oh, found footage is gone, but the clown is back. I got it. So they're just not doing the found footage. Actually, a trailer just released for Stephen Cognetti's new movie too. That's not a hell. Can't remember what it was called though, but it looked good. Anything else cool? That's all I got. That's
All right.
sorry. Kind of fucked up that whole the whole process.
Yeah, it's all good, man.
What are you drinking tonight?
I'm not just getting over a sickness, but I figured some Luxu Sowa, or however Ben pronounces it, may just rejuvenate me a bit.
Nice. All right, I dig it. Michelob again for me tonight.
Nice.
Yeah. All right, have you watched anything since we last talked 2 days ago?
I have not. No.
I watched Blades of Glory.
Okay, nice. I haven't watched that movie in so long.
Man, it's so good.
Yeah.
It's hilarious. I loved it. But yeah, I'm having fun doing what you were doing and just kind of going back and watching some
Yeah.
old
Yeah.
movies that we enjoy. All right, we've already talked about the news. We just recorded the other day, but is there any? No, there wouldn't be any new 4Ks, I guess, either,
Well, I'll
eh?
just do.
All right.
We're recording this episode in the past for people listening to it.
Yeah.
Sharing is not turned on. Okay.
My bad. There you go.
All right. So this week, We got The Brutalist, The Possession of Joel Delaney. No idea what that is. Desperado, 4K. Black Sheep, Delicatessen. I'm not French, sorry. Antiviral, Brandon Cronenberg. Oh, that's the first his first movie. Night of the Creeps, Tommy Boy, Don't Torture a Duckling. Some of these movies from like the 70s, 80s had the weirdest fucking titles.
The old Giallo movies and stuff.
A lot of Tommy Boy releases. Venom, oh, from 1981. That's not the Venom I was thinking of. Choose Me on Criterion,
Okay.
and Night Moves on Criterion as well.
Right.
I'm kind of upset because I just realized or just found out that Criterion had a 4K flash sale that ended today at noon. I
Oh,
missed
really?
it. So,
I wonder how it was. Like, if they're really on sale or
but well.
save $5. All right. So, quite a bit. All right. We've already talked about the news. So, we can get into this movie discussion.
It.
Right. Like we said in the intro this week, we were talking about Talk to Me from 2023, starting off with the synopsis. When a group of friends discover how to conjure spirits using an embalmed hand, they become hooked on the new thrill until one of them goes too far and unleashes terrifying supernatural forces. Wrapped up very nicely. This was the directorial debut of the Philippou brothers, who
Yep.
started off as YouTubers under the name Raka Raka. Oh, Bring Her Back is.
Yes,
No,
yes,
yeah,
yes.
that's the name of their new one that's coming out. It looks fucking awesome.
It does.
And then they're also doing Talk to Me 2 as well, which the end of this movie set up a sequel perfectly. I
It did.
think there was no doubt in anyone's mind that there was gonna the stars Sophie Wilde, who plays Mia, Alexandra Jensen plays Jade, Zoe Tarakis plays Haley. And Joe Bird plays Riley. There was no one in this movie that is like an A-lister or overly popular. I don't think I recognized anybody
Wow, man.
except,
Except
I don't know. Who?
Miranda Otto, who played Eowyn in the Lord of the Rings movies.
Hold on. Oh, is that the mother? Right. Okay. Is that
I actually hate the way that IMDb has the cast list because it's like top cast
Oh, I
and
know.
like. I was like trying to figure out who was who. I was like, okay, this is like all over the fucking place.
It's like it goes by order of appearance rather than.
Oh, really? Because mine's top cast. But I guess that makes sense.
Yeah, because like we see Cole and Tyson and Peck. Yeah, I think it goes by. Well, I dropped the ball on that one. All right. You don't have anybody else?
No.
Cool. Let's dive in.
Do it. Yeah, this is second watch for both of us. Last time I watched it was in the movie theater, so it's been a couple of years. And this is one of those movies that kind of just sticks with you, I think, because I pretty much remember everything that happened in this movie. I probably could record this episode and not watch it, honestly. Like,
That's a fair point.
well, probably not, but yeah, and this is one of the movies I remember watching with my buddy from work. And the opening scene, just crazy opening scene, just comes out of nowhere. And like I remember looking over at him like and he looked at me and it was like fucking biggest shock on her face. Opens at the party. Cole is looking for his brother, named Duckett. I don't know if it's his real name or just a nickname, and no one knows who Duckett is. And then finally, someone says, "Hey, get your brother out of my fucking room or something like that. So Cole goes up to it. He's like banging on it. You hear Duckett like slurring words and speaking like gibberish and stuff like that. And then Cole ends up breaking the door down. And Duckett is like on the bed, faced away with his shirt off. And there's like all these like cuts and shit all over his body. And then he's like talking about how like Pop said that he's gonna hurt or someone's gonna hurt a lot of people. And then Cole's like, well, Pop is dead. And then, kind of. And Duckett just looks very odd and not all there.
You can almost pass it off as him just being like super drunk. But, and like, that's what everybody's thinking, kind of, I think, because they all have their phones out, they're recording it. And Cole's getting pissed. He's like, put your fucking phones away. Like, stop recording this shit. And then he turns around and fucking Duckett stabs him in the like shoulder. Oh, man. And stumbles outside and stabs himself in the face with this big, like, I don't know, 6-inch blade, I guess.
And like I just love this shot. Like walks out and there's like a light from like the on the other building like shining in on the patio and you just see him like in the light just stab himself. It's like holy shit. And then we meet Mia and Riley. Riley is with his friend Jamie, I think his name was, and they're younger, like not even 15 years old, I think. And he says that his sister's gonna come pick him up, and then Mia shows up, who is basically a friend or a family member of his. And they're driving together, have a good time, and then all of a sudden they stop the car, and there's a kangaroo hit in the middle of the road that is still alive. And Riley says, "Well, why don't you put him in his misery? Because like it's in pain." And then like she gets in the car and looks like she's about to run it over, but then she stops and they just go around it and just leave it kind of suffering. And this kind of the crucial, not crucial moment, but kind of a big part in the movie that comes back at the end of the movie, right? So we meet Jade. Riley is Jade's brother. And we did briefly get a glimpse of Mia at her mom's remembrance, which I guess is maybe like a funeral. And you learn that her mom committed suicide, maybe didn't do it on purpose, but pretty much her mom is dead, and she kind of what's the word I'm looking for with her dad?
That kind of
Not hate him, but like
like ostracize.
a little bit, yeah. I can't think of the word I'm trying to think of, but he's not talking to him and stuff like that. And he tries to talk to her, and she just kind of,
Yeah, 'cause she doesn't know the events of what happened with her mom.
no.
And she brings it up to her dad, and like, 'cause at one point he's like, I need you to be honest with me. And she's like, oh yeah, 'cause you've been so honest with me. And he's like, I tell you everything. And she's like, all right, what actually happened with mom? And he just like shuts right down. So he's never talked to her about what happened.
No.
And like, you can understand why she kind of has this grudge against him in regards to all this. Like, she's old enough. It's not like she's a child.
Yeah, exactly. They're about to leave for a party. Jade and Mia. And I love the mom in this because she's so like she knows what's going on, but still like wants to be a hard ass because like she's like doing her makeup getting from her bed or whatever. Then Jade comes in and like, are you going to bed? And mom's like, are you sneaking out again? She's like, no. The mom's like, you only ever ask if I'm going to bed when you're sneaking out. And like she knows that she's sneaking out but doesn't want to say it. I just love their relationship kind of. So they're sneaking out. Well, not really sneaking out, but they're going to a party, and Mia invited Riley to go with them. And Jade is kind of doesn't want him to go because he's a bit younger. And I think the crowd that she hangs out with, and like it's kind of a weird relationship that she has with the other people. Like, they don't seem like friends. They just kind of seem like just people they hang out with. I don't know.
Yeah, they all have a problem with Mia for whatever reason.
Yeah.
'Cause like whenever they get in there, like Jade gets in first and they're all like, "Oh, finally you got here." And
Yeah.
they're like talking to her and they're cool with her being there, and then Mia walks in last and Zoe, or Haley, sorry, played by Zoe, is basically like, "What the fuck are you doing here?" kind of
Yeah.
thing. But I don't know. They never explain really what happened
No,
with
no.
that, if it's just been since Mia's mom died, or if they've always kind
Yeah.
of had this
Yeah,
negative.
and like Haley is talking to Jade and she's like, "Why the fuck did you invite her?" And Jade is like, "Why do you hate her so much?" And Haley's just like, "She's just really annoying." And she's like, "She literally never did anything to you." But I find like Haley just comes across as that, like, maybe she's trying to act cool and kind of needs to fit in with people, so she kind of has to like act that way towards people.
I mean, they're 17 years old, right? Like, they all hate each other for some reason or another. The way it goes.
We meet Daniel, who is Jade's boyfriend, but is also Mia's ex-boyfriend, and they're now like really good friends. So yeah, they have this hand that what's the guy's name? I didn't write his name down.
Joss.
Joss, yes. He got this hand from Duckett. So basically this hand, Haley wants to go, and then Joss is like, "Well, you always go." And then they're like, "Okay, do I have any volunteers?" And Mia is like, "Okay, I'll go." And like Mia, Jade, Daniel, and Riley have no idea what this hand does. It's just they've heard rumors of it, and like they're all very skeptical of it. And Jade basically says, "Oh, it's not real. They're just like making these stories up." So Mia volunteers to, I guess, play with the hand or whatever. So basically they light a candle, and it's this hand that has like, it's like going for like a handshake. It has all these like markings on it, like not like signatures, but like words and stuff like that. And she has to hold it. They light a candle to open the door, I think, to the spirits. And then she says, "Talk to me," and then a random ghost or spirit will pop up, and only that person can see it. And then they say, "I let you in," and the spirit goes into their body and they become possessed. And but they can't go longer than 90 seconds, or else there's a chance that the spirit will latch onto like the person's soul, basically, and like have access to them. And they can like imitate other people. They can play all kinds of mind games with the people.
It keeps them in the physical world.
So what do you think of this concept, and what did you think like the first time you saw it?
I think it's a really good and fresh take on a possession movie. I talk about it in my review, but like, I'm not a big fan of possession movies. I've talked about it on here before, but with this one, it's so new and it's so different than other ones that we've seen. I think they did a really, really good job at creating a new wave type possession movie.
Yeah. And it kind of goes in hand with I guess what Gen Z's. Oh, I see.
In
Okay.
hand.
With Gen Z's and like just the kind of trends that they think are hilarious and cool, and like people like us millennials are like, "That's the fucking stupidest fucking thing ever." Like, who would voluntarily be possessed by a demon? Like,
Like, we had Ouija boards and shit, but
I
they
mean,
were fucking created by Hasbro or whatever. Like, that shit's not real.
yeah, this takes it to another level. Yeah, so pretty much this hand was, well, what Joss says is it was a mind reader, not mind reader, maybe it wasn't mind reader, someone who could
A medium.
talk, medium, yeah, someone who could talk to the dead. And so under this clay and everything, there's actually a real hand is what the stories are. So yeah, Mia gets up there and at first she says, talk to me. And she sees just right away an old man pops up and she gets scared and she's not saying anything. And like Jade and them are like, ah, come on. She's just showing for the cameras and stuff like that. And then she kind of takes a breath and Haley and Joss are like, okay, do it again. So she says, talk to me again. And this fucking huge, fat, wet lady with like one bulging eye like pops up and like very creepy. And then she kind of takes a breath and says, I'll let you in. And was her name Sophie Wilde? Yeah, she did such a good job in this movie. Like, holy fuck. Like, especially the scenes, like this scene when she's possessed, like just crazy.
Yeah, she like lays back in the chair and her head's like she's like limp bodied, and she's looking straight up at the ceiling. Her eyes go completely black. And like every person that gets possessed, their eyes go black and their face starts to look like it's almost decomposing. Like they get
A
blackness
little
around their
bit, yeah.
mouth and stuff like that. And then she just kind of like rolls her head off to the side and she's staring at everybody and she's just like cackling. And it's the creepiest thing, man.
It is, yeah.
But yeah, she did do a really good job in this first possession.
Yeah. And then like this demon or whatever is like talking out loud to people in the room, like she looks at Riley and says, oh, he's behind you now. He wants you or something like that. And then like the door like opens up and then closes and then she looks at Riley again and just keeps saying like run, 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 run. And Riley is like fucking terrified.
Yeah, 'cause he's a bit younger. What's he like, 15, we'll say?
Yeah, maybe like 13, 15-ish, yeah. But
But with her being so good in this part, like I think it really set up the rest of the movie. Like we know
yeah.
what we're getting now. And if we see more possessions that are similar to this, like it's something to kind of get excited about on a first time watch.
So later that night, Mia goes back to Jade and Riley's house, and Riley is too scared to sleep by himself, so he kind of hangs out with Mia for the night. And he's asking her like how it felt or how was it, and she's saying it felt incredible. And then as out of nowhere, he's like, what happened to your mom? Like, did she kill herself? And quite
He's really there.
So she's telling about her mom and stuff like that, how they found her. She took too many sleeping pills by mistake. They found her behind the door with like scratch marks and like wood under her nails, so like she was trying to get out. And then like she falls asleep, and I like how or no, Riley falls asleep. I like how she's like taking his phone in his hands and his ear pod. It is her hand, but then when it reaches down and touches his face, it's like a demon hand. Thought that was really cool. So now the next night, Jade wants to invite Haley over again to party and bring the hand back. And I love the mom in this scene again because she's like trying to get them to admit that they're having a party.
She's going around to like each room. Time's the party start.
It goes into Riley's room and Jamie's there and like, hey, what time does the party start tonight? I don't know what you're talking about. Yeah, the party, what time does it start?
Yeah. Jade's already told me it's okay.
And then goes into Jade and me, and Mia's in there with Daniel, and she's like to Mia, like, what are you doing here? She's like, oh, just hanging out. Oh, come stay for the party? I don't know. No party we're having. We're just hanging out. Oh, you're just gonna third wheel the whole night? So the mom leaves, and the rest of the party shows up, and Jamie is there as well, Riley's friend, obviously, Haley and Joss. And I really love this kind of compilation scene. They have like the music going and like they're just having the best time. Everyone is like taking turns and stuff like that.
Yeah, it's like a full I'm thinking montage of everybody taking their turns doing it.
So then Daniel, he's up and immediately he's like, everyone's like jazzed up, having a good time, nothing bad has happened, right? And he's like, okay, I'm gonna go now and like, hey, make sure you film me and record what I'm doing. And he gets taken over, and like as soon as he does, like this person is very like sexual and is like looking at Jade and says like, oh, he hates it when you touch him and like you make him soft. And then he looks at Mia and like starts like groaning and touch himself, and then like falls over, starts humping the floor. Then the fucking bulldog comes in, starts he starts
It's
making out with
so
the
gross.
bulldog, and it's disgusting. And everyone there is just like laughing and stuff.
Recording it, of course.
Yeah. And they're trying to get the hand, like the hand off finally, and he wakes up and he immediately is like, fucking delete the recording. And then like obviously Joss and Haley are assholes. They're like, oh, post it. And he like just leaves and stuff.
It's weird, like it was weird to me that he remembered what happened. Or maybe he, I don't know, maybe he didn't remember, but they were all laughing at him, so he just immediately went on the defensive.
Maybe. So Mia's going again, everyone's taking turns, and then at the end of it, Riley and Jamie want to go. And immediately Jade shoots them down and like, no, like you're not going. So then Riley is like, well, I wanna go, like I wanna try. And Jade is like, no. And then she leaves, and Mia's like, yeah, I don't know. Maybe you shouldn't. And then Riley gets pissed at her, like, oh, you always take her side. And she's like, I never take sides. And he's like still begging her, and she's like, okay, what about for 60 seconds? He's like, 60 seconds? Okay. She's like, 50 seconds. And he's like, okay, 50 seconds. And then like Haley and Josh are like pretending to put it away. Then they are like, oh, 50 seconds. All right, let's fucking go. And immediately you're like, bad fucking idea. Bad idea. And so he's doing it, and he says, I let you in. And the look on his face is like shocked. He looks over at Mia. And then he says, or I'll let you in. And then he gets possessed. And then it is Mia's mom's voice coming out of Riley. But also couldn't be, because the demons can imitate people, right? So I could just be playing mind games with her.
It's not 100% certain that that's who it was, but it's sad, like, 'cause he looks over at her and he's like, I'm sorry, like, I never meant to hurt you, I miss you so much, and like, I wish it could have been different, and like, I didn't mean to, it was a mistake, it was an accident. So just, I don't know. And then Mia's freaking out and they're like, okay, like 50 seconds is up, and she's like, no, like, it's my mom, just give him a little bit more time.
And lets it go for too long. And like the first time I saw this in the theaters, like did not expect how fucking gruesome it was. He just like stops and just starts smashing his head on the desk, and like immediately like a fucking crack on his head, blood coming down, and he's smashing his head. And then they're the one thing that pissed me off in this movie, these people are so dumb. Like there is like so many points in this movie where someone is hurting themselves and they just stand back and do literally nothing.
Yeah, they just watch it happen and scream.
Like he's literally trying to pull his eyeball out of his head. Like he gets a hold of it and it's fucking disgusting.
Yeah, it's so gross.
But then like the chair like flies back into the window, and then he's like beside another desk, he's like smashing his eye on the corner of the fucking desk. And then Jade runs in and like puts her hand in front, and he smashes his head on her hand.
And they
Yeah, just
finally get the fucking hand out of his hand.
yeah, they do, because finally like Jade is like, someone fucking help me, like there's like six people just standing around watching him
Yeah.
almost kill himself, right?
And Joss is a big dude. Like, he
Yeah.
could have done something.
Yeah, exactly. But so when the cops show up and Mia is kind of like in she's not herself, like she's just in shock, obviously. And like Joss and Haley are talking, they're like, everyone just gotta stick with their part of what they said. Like, don't mention the hand because like they're already suspicious of what happened with Duckett and the hand with him. And yeah, so Mia goes back home and she now has the hand in her possession. She goes to the hospital to visit them, and they're pretty much blaming Mia. Well, obviously, it is kind of her fault, to be honest. But the mom doesn't know about the hand, right? She thinks that she gave him drugs.
And she like kind of goes in on Mia. She's like, I know you've done shit in the past, and like, what
Yeah.
did you give him? I know you gave him something. And like, I get that they can kind of blame her because she gave him the okay to do it. But at the same time, Jade left the room.
Yeah, because she thought they were wrapping up, though, right?
I know, but
And also, she let it go past the 50 seconds.
yeah, that's where the blame would come for Jade.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, that was a big mistake, obviously. And like,
Yeah.
I'd be pissed at her for that.
Yeah.
But I mean, Riley's not Jade's, or Riley's not Mia's responsibility.
No.
I don't know.
So Daniel is driving her home, and I forget why, but he can't go home because I think he has family there or something like that. So Mia says, well, do you want to stay over at my place? So they're in bed and they're like laying opposite, so like his feet are at her head, and at this point she's like, I don't know if she's all there, because like she's like laying there and then she like lifts, she rests her arm against his leg like very deliberately, like I don't know if she just wants like his touch or like what was up with that.
I think she likes him.
Still?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
So I think, yeah, like you said, she just kind of wants his touch.
Yeah.
And like
Yeah.
he's sleeping, so she just, I don't know, rests her arm up against his
I
leg.
guess, yeah. But then she starts dreaming of Daniel and kissing him, and then the mom shows up and she's like dead. Then there's like someone in the corner of the room. It's like this old white lady with like her fucking boob hanging out. And this part just caught me off guard. Like the first time I saw it, I was like, what the fuck am I watching right now? So this lady goes up to Daniel to his foot and just start fucking sucking on his toes. So weird. And
Yeah.
Mia's like standing up and she's like freaking out, and Daniel wakes up and he looks over and like Mia's not there, and he looks down and Mia's just fucking sucking on his toes.
Like
Like,
all five of his toes are
yeah,
in her mouth.
fucking disgusting, man.
Yeah.
So then he obviously is like, I'm getting the fuck out of here.
And she tries to explain to him like that it wasn't her, it was a ghost, and he's like, I fucking saw you, like it was you.
So she's like slapping herself and she's losing herself because she's starting to see these demons. And then she decides to play the game by herself
So
and
dumb.
to contact her mom, which again, the mom pops up, but you don't know if that was the real mom. And I don't think the mom ever showed up.
I don't think so either.
I think it was just one demon that wanted to fuck with her.
Yeah, because the mom looks terrible. Like,
Yeah.
doesn't even really look like, it looks like her mom, but like her eyes are all like whited over, and like she has like boils all over her face and stuff. So it's
Yeah.
like, I don't know, like none of the ghosts look good or friendly.
No.
But you think like if it was actually her mom,
Yeah.
she would, I don't know, maybe look a little bit better.
Yeah. And like later on in the movie, whenever the mom is telling Mia to kill someone close to her, right? Like the mom wouldn't do that, right?
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, she's like asking the mom if she killed herself, and the mom say no, it was an accident. And then she is in bed cuddling with the mom, basically. So it cuts to the hospital, and Jade and the mom are giving Riley a kind of sponge bath, and he's still like just not there. And the mom leaves, and Jade's there by himself, and she's like, "Riley, talk to me." And then he like kind of looks up, and then just starts fucking biting the shit out of his own hand and arm. And then he falls over and just smashing his head on the wall. And this is another part that pissed me off. Like, Jade is literally just sitting there while he's smashing his head into the wall, like, fucking do something. She still doesn't until, like, the nurses run in. So now they're going to find Duckett's brother, Cole, to get some answers because Mia tells them that she is seeing the ghost still. And she tells, well, Daniel mentions out loud to the group that they were sleeping together, but like not sexually, but obviously Jade is like, "What the fuck, man?" Like, you know, so obviously she's even more pissed at Mia now because she did that. And Mia's talking hit to him, and they kind of learn that the body needs to kick the ghost out of it, because the longer it goes, I think the body gets weaker, or the demon does. So then Mia gets a idea that maybe they didn't blow the candle out whenever he got possessed, which, like, thinking back, I don't think they did.
I don't think so either, because it was just so chaotic, right? Like,
Yeah.
they would have never thought to do it, really.
Yeah. So her idea is for Riley to play the game again and then to blow the candle out. So they're at the hospital and they're trying it, and he obviously can't talk, so Mia is saying, "Talk to him, talk to him." And then she uses the hand and says, "Talk to Riley," and then a little girl pops up, and Mia's like talking to her, like, "Hey, can you show me where Riley is?" And she's like, "Yeah." And it kind of like does like a quick flash of basically Riley being torn apart by a bunch of
Fucking,
demons.
it's wild, man. It's like a
Yeah.
fucking ghost orgy almost, and they're
Yeah.
like, yeah, they're all over him and they're holding him down and like just kind of clawing at him. Like, he doesn't look like he's getting hurt necessarily,
Yeah.
but like they have a hold of him, like they're gripping him, like they're not letting him leave. It's kind of what it seems.
Yeah. Yeah, she does say, I think, like, he's never gonna, like, they're never gonna let him go, basically. So now Mia's back at her house, and she kind of confronts her dad now, and he ends up showing her a note that the mom left, basically telling them, "I'm sorry for doing this. You know, don't blame yourself." But Mia's freaking out because she's like, "No, mom told me that she didn't kill herself." And then she goes in her room, and the mom is there, and basically the dad comes in the room, is trying to kill her, and the mom is saying, "That's a ghost imitating your father. You need to kill him." And then the dad ends up breaking into the room, and Mia's like on the floor just by herself, freaking the fuck out. And he goes to like grab her, and she grabs a pair of scissors and stabs him in the neck. And he, I don't think he ends up dying though.
Well, I mean,
Well,
we don't
he's
sm
alive. No, he's alive whenever Riley or Jade goes back to the
Oh,
house.
yeah, that's right. He is. Yeah, you're right.
Which I assume that she called the ambulance for him, but
Yeah. So, this whole scene, maybe it is actually her mom then. Because her
why do you
mom
think
gives her,
that?
well, her mom gives her a warning because
That.
he's banging on the door. And before he even gets into the bedroom,
Yeah.
the mother ghost is saying, like, that's not your dad. Like, that's someone
Like
trying to get you.
in the room?
He wasn't even in the room yet.
Right. Yeah.
Because then the dad's like down in the kitchen, like it
Right.
keeps flashing to him in the kitchen. So maybe it was actually her mom who was warning her, like, don't open the door to this one because that's not actually your dad.
Right, maybe. Yeah.
But like, even when he gets in, like, he looks like a ghost version of her dad. Like, he's got like
Yeah.
boils all over his skin and his eyes are all
Yeah,
fucked
yeah.
up. Like, it doesn't look like her actual dad.
Yeah.
But he's also not actually there either.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So yeah, Mia's at the hospital. She kind of is trying to plan something. She ends up, I think, calling Jade, asking to come pick her up, basically, to bring her to the hospital, like kind of like make amends. But then Mia goes to the hospital and is talking to the mom, and they say like there's no drugs in his system. So she like apologizes for blaming Mia. And then Mia says, can I talk to him alone? And then immediately a ghost shows up in the bed and is basically saying, like, you can't take him, he's ours. And then, like, this part, I don't really like the end, the not the end ending, but like this kind of part, like she just sees like a mirage of like the kangaroo in the window and like kind of thinks like, okay, this is what I need to do, basically. So do you think her intention was to kill Riley?
Because the ghost had basically convinced her that that was the only way that he would be broken from them. Because she even held up the pair of scissors in the hospital at
Yeah.
him. Like she was
Yeah.
going to stab him with them.
Yeah.
But then she couldn't follow through with it. So then she gets him in the wheelchair and breaks him out of the hospital.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think she had every intention of killing him. She just couldn't make herself do it.
Yeah. So the mom comes back and they're both gone and then she's freaking out, and then Jade comes to the hospital and then she ends up seeing Mia pushing Riley in a wheelchair like far away. So she's chasing after him and she ends up like going down this path to like the highway. And what do you think the whole kangaroo, actually I kind of just asked one question. So like at the beginning of the movie, they wanted to put the kangaroo out of his misery, right? So now she thinks that she's doing that he's a kangaroo, basically, right?
Yeah, and she needs to put him out of his misery.
Yeah. So what do you think happened? Because Mia ends up getting hit by the car.
I think she realized how fucked up she was and she threw herself in front of the cars. And like that was her way of just like kind of ridding herself of all of this.
Right. Kind of getting back to her mom, maybe.
Yeah, because like we see Jade, like we keep seeing flashes of Jade running out to there,
Yeah.
but Jade wasn't there, so like we can't say that Jade pushed her or anything like that.
Yeah.
So I think it was just her way of ridding herself of all these burdens.
Yeah. And then she gets up from the wreck, and I think this movie has a little bit of like Sixth Sense in it, because she gets up and like she doesn't look like she got smashed by a car. Like she's obviously looks fucked up, right? She has like a bunch of scrapes on her face and stuff like that, but she's not like doesn't have any major injuries, so you're like, oh, maybe she's fucking okay. But then she's in the hospital, and earlier in the movie, she had mentioned to someone that she keeps having this dream that when she looks in the mirror, she can't see herself. So do you think like she somehow knew that this was going to happen?
Sort of
Because
like a
she's in the hospital and she looks in the mirror and she doesn't see her reflection because she's dead.
I don't think she's been dead through the whole movie.
No, I'm not saying that, but I'm thinking like, do you think that maybe she knew that she would die eventually through all
Maybe.
this? And that's the
Maybe.
dreams that she was having.
Yeah, maybe. Or maybe she was possessed right from the very beginning. Like, not from the very beginning, but her first time using the hand. Maybe she never fully got out of it.
Yeah.
And I don't know. Maybe she's a medium
Maybe.
and she doesn't know it.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But yeah, she's running to the hospital. She sees her dad. The dad like gets the elevator, and then everything goes black. And you see a lit candle, and she's like walking towards it. And then you see the table, a hand just over top of it, but it's a real human hand. So she grabs it, and then you hear, oh, she grabs it, and then it cuts to real life. And I think this ending and the setup to a sequel is honestly one of the best
Yeah.
I've ever fucking seen.
It's so good.
It got me so hyped in the theater. I was like, that's such a fucking like full circle, like great fucking moment.
Yeah, it's such a great ending for this
Because
movie.
it's like a guy who's speaking Greek, obviously is another country, and then you see the person beside him telling him what to do. And then he says, well, he already said, talk to me. When he says, I let you in, and then fucking
Movie
movie
end.
ends.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what do you think they're going to do for a sequel? Do you think it's going to be more of Mia? Do you think we're going to see more of her?
I think so. I can't think of another way that they would do it, because it'd be pretty much the same plot, right? Like,
Yeah, just another group
what?
of people. All
Yeah, exactly.
right.
Anything else?
I don't think so.
All right, well, that's the way the blood splatters.
All right. For once, I didn't see your score on Letterboxd for this one. So I'm intrigued
Oh,
to
really?
see how you rated it.
I actually changed my rating from the first time I watched it.
Did you? Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, how did you rate it?
For quality, I'll give it a 8 out of 10.
Okay.
Just think really fucking well-made movie. I think the directors of their first movie and just knocked it out of the park. Like, you couldn't ask for a better debut. And like, I think the great thing about horror movies is that you can have these no-name directors, because people go into horror movies and they obviously probably don't have any high expectations, right? Because it's a horror movie. But then you come out of this and just blown away. I think the cinematography is great. I thought the use of sound and music was fantastic. I just think overall it's a well-made movie. And then for story, I also go 8 out of 10 as well for
Okay.
story. I loved all the characters. I think it's a really original possession movie, like we said, has some new ideas, kind of worked with some others maybe. And I just think that the way they ended it was just fantastic.
Yeah.
8 out of 10 for both.
All right. Nice. My quality gave it a 9 out of 10. Said I think it was like really well acted, especially considering none of these actors were A-listers. I said I think the Philippou brothers are going to be a really special pair of directors with their visions and new ideas. Like this movie gets you invested so early in the movie, and it keeps you engaged throughout the entire runtime. I think the pacing was perfect. Like it was an hour and a half. I think it was 95 minutes total runtime. So I think that was perfect. It was just right at that sweet spot where it's not going to get boring and it's also not too short. Practical effects were fucking so good, man. Like these ghosts look amazing. And like when Riley smashing his face and like pulling his eyeball out, like everything looked so realistic in this movie. And I like how they made the ghosts look. Like they were creepy as shit, but also not necessarily like so scary that like you would never want to do this again kind of thing. You know what I mean? Like they keep coming back for more. Like they want to do this more and more. So like they can't make the ghosts look like these absolutely terrifying abominations that people are never going to want to see again. So I think, yeah, I think they did just an incredible job with everything of this movie visually. Yeah. Story, I also gave it an 8 out of 10. We've already mentioned it, but it's a very fresh take on the possession subgenre. And I think that the Philippou brothers took a risk for their first movie and it really paid off for them. I love the idea of the hand bringing ghosts to them. like they turned something so terrifying into a fucking party game, which is like it's mind-blowing, but I mean it makes sense because people are into this shit, right? So like look at Ouija boards and how popular they were back in the day. I think Mia's side story was really well done, and you can feel the constant emotional distress she has throughout the whole movie. So like that story was really well written, as well as the rest of the movie. And like you, and like we've mentioned already, I love the ending and how they set up a guarantee for a sequel. So yeah, 9 out of 10 and 8 out of 10 for me.
Nice.
All right. You guys know our scores. We'll head on over to Rotten Tomatoes and see what they scored it. This one has a critics consensus and an audience one as well. So we'll
Okay.
start off with the critics. With a gripping story and impressive practical effects, Talk to Me spins a terrifically creepy 21st century horror yarn built on classic foundations. Excuse me. So based on that, what do you think the critics?
Say in 91.
Oh, you're close. 94.
Damn.
That's on 294 reviews and an average score of 7.7 out of 10. The audience says Talk to Me has a fright-filled, fast-paced, and often unpredictable story that'll keep you on the edge of your seat from start to finish. The audience score was a 79% on 5,000 ratings and an average score of 3.9 out of 5 or a 7.8 out of 10. So highly
Nice.
regarded on Rotten Tomatoes. What does it look like on Letterboxd?
So Letterboxd has a 3.5 out of 5. We both gave it a 4 out of 5. My original score was a 4.5, but I dropped it down to a 4.
Okay.
Our friendos, let's see, I know it's a lot of, just gotta find them. Jensen gave it a 4.5. Anthony gave it a 4. Slash and Captain gave it a 4. What people? Josh gave it a 3.5. Erica gave it a 3. Scream and Cinema gave it a 4. I feel like there was someone else. Jess gave it a 4. Yeah. And our buddy Alan gave it a 3.5.
Nice. All right. So not bad scores all around.
Yeah.
Cool. All right, you ready for the scare section?
Yes, sir.
Right. What did you give this for a scare rating?
I'll give it a 7 out of 10.
Okay.
Honestly, just for like the scares and also the gore factor, I think just not too many like possession scenes or like scary scenes. And yeah, I just thought, like you said, well paced and a couple really big shocking moments. Just yeah. So 7 out of 10. Scariest scene, I'll go with the first possession scene
Okay.
of Mia, just because like she did such a good fucking job and it really was like terrifying, and like everyone in on sitting around the couches, like their faces were just terrified. So yeah, just a really unsettling scene. And yeah,
All right.
and would I survive? This is like 50-50, right? Because you're basically playing Russian roulette. So, yeah, 50-50 chance, honestly.
Okay.
And I feel like it doesn't matter, like, who you are, how powerful you are, how small you are. It literally has no effect. It's just whatever demon he rolled, right?
Yeah, that's
So,
true.
yeah, no issue.
All right. My scare rating, I gave it a 6 out of 10. I said there's a solid amount of good time jump scares in this one. None of them felt cheap. I feel like they all had their place, and it was good. Practical effects were amazing. The ghosts looked creepy as shit. But yeah, like that gore factor is really good in this movie.
Yeah.
Scary scene. I said the woman sucking on Daniel's toes.
That's fair.
I said not only was she the creepiest looking ghost in my opinion, but just like the way that she crawled over to him,
Yeah.
because like she's creeping in the corner, and then she kind of like not unfolds herself, but like I don't know, starts kind of crawling on her hands and knees. And she's looking at Mia, and then she like looks down the bed and sees Daniel's toes and just like starts hauling ass, just
Yeah.
and like fucking crawls even faster down to his toes. I don't know, it's just a weird, creepy scene. And would I survive? I said it's hard to say because I definitely think I would be idiotic enough as a teenager to do this. But I'd like to think I'd be a little more careful and like making sure that it stays within the 90-second timeline. So honestly, I think it would just be dependent on if I could trust my friends enough that are there with me to make
Yeah.
sure that I don't go over that time.
It's fair.
So like your fate's kind of in their hands. But yeah, I think I would definitely end up doing it. But yeah, that wraps up Australia.
Does, yeah.
So we are now going to travel to South America.
Yes, sir.
All right. And it's your first pick for this one.
It is. It is. I don't want to do this. I'm
Uh-oh.
picking a movie that I have refused to watch. It is not my favorite genre to watch, but I'm doing it for the people.
Okay.
So we're going to be traveling to Chile,
Okay.
and we'll be talking about the Green Inferno.
Oh, all right. All right. Yeah, you really don't like these cannibal movies, eh?
No, I don't. I've
I haven't seen this since it first came out, so.
never watched it, so
Oh, have you not?
no, I just
Ah,
every
okay.
time I see it on like some streaming site, I'm like, no, I'm not
Yeah.
gonna watch it.
Oh, shit. Look at you stepping out of
I
your
know,
comfort zone.
I know.
Yeah, because you went through a little kick. Like you watched, did you watch Cannibal Holocaust? Was it that one?
It was either Holocaust or Xerox I watched.
Xerox, like the printers?
Cannibal Xerox, I think it's called.
I know which one you're talking about, but what's
Maybe
it
not. Maybe
called?
not Cannibal Xerox.
Cannibal Ferox.
Ferox. That makes
Yeah.
sense.
All right.
Yeah.
Cool.
So, yeah.
Sweet. So yeah, whenever you listen to this, that episode will be recording it in 2 weeks. We are recording this one a little bit early just because I'm going away on vacation, so we don't want to miss a week.
Nope.
So we're pre-recording this one. But yeah, thanks for joining us in Australia. I had a great time
Yeah, me too.
with this location. There's some movies that we didn't get to.
I
But
know.
we have lots of time. We'll get to them eventually.
Yeah.
But yeah, looking forward to South America. I don't want to say I'm looking forward to watching Green Inferno, but it'll be a good discussion.
Yeah. They will be, yeah.
All right. Yeah, in the meantime, if you guys want to catch us on social media, you can find us at A Podcast on Elm Street on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. And if you click the link in our bio on Instagram, you'll find links to our TeePublic account where we have our merch. There's also a link to our Patreon account if you wish to support the podcast that way. And there's links to our individual Letterboxd accounts, our Discord server, and anywhere that you can listen to us. Thanks again.
Yep. Thanks, guys. See you in South America.
Bye.